Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan is your station. We want to hear from you. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
All right, Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. Still no idea why this song plays when it's not the last segment of the show, but I don't know. Maybe one of these, it's third week here. I don't want to ask for too much. It's not closing time. We have another hour here, which is good. Hopefully. I mean, if you guys, maybe some of you are saying, get these guys out of here. I mean, I'm enjoying myself. You?
I am. Cool. Always.
877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. We're going to get back to the calls in a moment. Just a heads up, I've told you a few times, this is going to be a lot of fun. We'll get to know Joe Shane a little bit tomorrow. We'll carry the press conference for you here on The Fan. And then we will have him on the show. We'll have him either tomorrow or Thursday, hopefully tomorrow, but either way, within the next 2 days, we'll have Joe on and really get to probe deeply into the process and, you know, how the entire interview process was run, you know, what he thought they were looking for, you know, and just in terms of his perspective on a team that needs a lot of work and what he plans on doing.
Yeah.
So that'll be awesome. You know, so Teague, the Hall of Fame voting bogus just gave us this in the update. So we'll get the answer tonight, rendered tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clemens and Bonds aren't getting in. We know this. Now, the Big Poppy to me, and it seemed like he was tracking really well, and I think it's become a lot more of a flip of a coin, leaning negatively. I'm not even, like, if I had a bet, I would say that Big Poppy does not get in.
Yeah.
He's tracking right now, last I checked, 84% of the public votes, but only 45% of the votes are have been received, and generally those who do not put those ballots in and make them public, it usually skews the other way.
Yep.
So there's, I followed this now for a bunch of years. I think Big Poppy's probably going to be left out. What would bother me, and I'm at the point, if you're new to the show, we did talk about this last week, it came up, I'd put them all in, probably with the exception of Sosa, mm-hmm. and I don't even know why that bothers me more, Sosa, than Clemens and Bonds and Big Poppy, but it would just seem unfair for Big Poppy to be the, maybe I should stop saying Big Poppy, David Ortiz to be the only one voted in.
Yeah.
And everybody else is not voted in.
In an era where all those guys are linked somehow. Well, I think Sammy.
Like, how does he escape?
Well, Sammy tested positive, right? So that's one. Clemens and Bonds never had a positive test.
Nope.
Even though there was wild accusations.
Well,
for
Bond
sure.
said he used the clear. Remember that the cream and the clear right. and Falco and
he had the tertiary stuff, like the things that are associated with using performance enhancing drugs. And Big Poppy was only outed because in 2009, the New York Times, citing anonymous sources, talked about that 2003 positive test that he was on the list of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, to me, it all comes down, and this is obvious. People like Big Poppy. Like, he's affable. He's obviously a champion. He fits the part of the Boston Red Sox in a way that I think is unique to him, and it makes him feel lovable in a sense. And so you're willing to forgive what is probably obvious, that he, just like all these other guys, dabbled in performance enhancing drugs. And we said this earlier, BT. I was reading an article earlier today. How David Ortiz could be the one major leaguer that's going to save this Hall of Fame ballot from having no inductees.
But that doesn't feel right to
me. It doesn't.
Fundamentally, that feels wrong. It feels askew.
No, it does.
How is he going to be up there receiving all these platitudes?
It is.
When in my heart, I believe that he dabbled.
Yes.
And by the way, I believe everybody dabbled, which is why I'm at this point saying put them in.
Yes. So it doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah. It still matters, but it matters less to me. I mean, it still matters a little. The distortion of the record book will always matter a little bit.
Yeah.
What is there? Eight guys who have hit. I think the stat is eight players in baseball history have had 60 home runs or more. Sammy Sosa's got three of the eight. He went from a skinny, opposite field hitting right fielder for the White Sox to a cartoon freakish character. Who's hitting balls to Pluto? I mean, it's not right. And his case is really weird because not only has baseball turned their back on him, but his own team, the Cubs,
turned their back. It got odd at the end with him and the Cubs, and then it got contentious.
Yeah,
and then it became don't even talk to us type of thing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this just came in. This is interesting. He was on the Giants list here, Ryan Poles. From Kansas City, formerly of the Chiefs, now the GM of the Bears.
Yeah, makes sense.
Good for him.
There's a couple other openings that we kind of just have forgotten about, in a sense. The Chicago Bears had an opening, as do the Las Vegas Raiders.
With Mayock?
We did not. The Jaguars hung on to Trent Baalke, didn't they?
They have not released him, to my knowledge.
Yeah, so Trent Baalke somehow was still the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Then that
which doesn't portend good things.
Oh, well, you took it out of my mouth. I mean, good luck with that head coach search.
Yeah.
All right. So that's good for Poles. He deserves a shot there. He's done good things.
Jim Harbaugh, leave Michigan. Come back down here and work
with me. They're buddies, right? 877-337-6666. How about Brett on Long Island? Brett's on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Brett, go ahead, buddy. What do you got?
How you guys doing?
We're good, Brett. What's happening, man?
Hey, Brett.
Before I reminisce with Tiki, Brandon, I just to revisit quick, I wanted to say thank you for having my back. I was at call last week. I called Sal. He, ripped me to pieces. I was trying to defend Dan Quinn.
Well,
he
by the way,
he was a terrible coach, and
he wasn't a terrible coach.
He yelled at me, hung up on me. It was like a big deal. It was last week.
Well, you know, I never thought that Dan Quinn was even had a real chance to get the job. I mean, I just didn't. But Dan Quinn, to me, was a guy who, you know, and you're also starting to incorporate some of the other aspects of his resume, Legion of Boom, Seattle, blah, 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 his resurrection with the Dallas defense. You know, we were always pretty much in lockstep, Teague and I. Daboll made a lot of sense. Flores is interesting. Yeah, early on I said, call Belichick, didn't make the call. We even said a month ago, call Harbaugh, just see what's up, do your due diligence. But it looks like it's going to be Daboll, and I think that's terrific. It's going to be good for the Giants, hopefully.
All right, so with Tiki, I know you played so many games, you're probably not going to remember this, but for me, it was the biggest bet I had ever had in my life, and I'm not a rich guy.
No,
it was only like $1,500. I had bet for the whole week, right?
Okay.
And I had been down $1,500. It was a Sunday night game. It was about 16 years ago.
Okay.
16 years ago. So I put the bet in. It was the last bet, a Sunday night game. The Giants were home against the Cowboys.
Okay.
So it was all on the line here.
Okay.
You were in the backfield on the backside like you always are next to Eli, right?
Yeah.
In the backfield. Usually you check a block, release, get a pass or something because you were just as good catching the passes as you were running.
Okay.
So I'm standing up watching this, and all of a sudden it seemed like it took forever. He gets the snap. You guys are down, I think, by four. He hands the ball off to you. I'm, screaming at the TV from the four-yard line. You get hit in the backfield. Somehow break the tackle and get into the end zone. I'm screaming up and down, and it was just to break even. The biggest bet. I said your name 100 times. I loved you for saving me at that time.
That's awesome,
I don't know
man.
If you remember, but it was
I don't remember that Sunday night game. Sunday night.
You saved it. It was a winning touchdown. If I looked it up, I mean, how many Sunday night games? It was 16 years ago. You were 16. Home against the Cowboys.
Looking for it. Brett, we're going to try to find that box score. I mean, so you got your head handed to you all weekend. You're chasing 1500 bucks on you're chasing on Sunday
yeah.
night.
Chasing.
If you lose
what's
that,
big? Yeah.
If you lose
something $100, yeah.
You're down 3000 plus, and you said yeah. yourself you didn't have a ton of money. Hopefully, you're not yeah. still betting this way, Brett.
No, I do. Like, I won't even say the sites, there's a million of them now, legally.
Yeah.
And I do,
but you got to go with FanDuel.
What am I doing?
Well, we don't care.
Not.
If you're not doing FanDuel, I don't care. But hopefully you bet smarter.
All right, so I think I got it. I think I got the game for
you. Got it?
Yeah,
you
it was.
Do.
I don't.
I would like to see a highlight of that, unless I'm making up. Tiki, you got hit in the backfield, I swear. Like, why? Because it seemed forever. I think it was a delayed Did you have like a delayed counter that you did?
Well,
you
no, we used to check out of passes into runs.
Thanks, Brett.
So you know, back then, like when you did a check at the line of scrimmage, you were always checking out of a run into a pass. In fact, my last touchdown, Eli's rookie season, that's exactly what happened when I broke Joe Morris's single season rushing record. Eli drives us down the field. We get down to the goal line. He stands up and goes, check, 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 or whatever the check was. And they back into a zone because they think we're running a pass. And instead, we run a draw and we score the touchdown and win the game. I think the same thing, it was the same play. I'm looking at it right now. 11 seconds left in the game.
Okay, what year is this, though?
This is 2005, so January 2nd, Sunday night. Start time is obviously 8:30 p.m., Giants Stadium, 2005. We are losing 24 to 21.
Okay.
We're losing, and we call a draw, three-yard touchdown.
So the spread had to be 2.5 because if the spread was 3, he would have pushed, and he still would have been down a dime and a half.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just trying to... Otherwise, it could have been 2. It could have been less.
No,
but
Vegas line was Giants laying 1.
So. Oh, laying 1. So it got bet down probably. That is the worst way to bet.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So
Brett.
He was losing the bet because we were going to lose the game.
Exactly.
And then we ended up winning. All we had to do was win. This is basically.
You guys had to win the game.
We had to win the game.
And look at you. You delivered for your boy, Brett.
There you go, Brett.
And you know, the sad thing is.
See what I did that game. I don't even remember.
You know what's sad? Well, you scored. It was a pretty important touchdown for
Vinny
Brett.
Vinny was a quarterback. 24 for 95, 1 touchdown.
Who was the quarterback? Vinny?
Vinny.
Vinny T.
Vinny T.
Love Testaverde.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. For whatever reason, that game doesn't register in my head.
Well, you know what's crazy? I'm saying this with a smile, but that is a dangerous way to bet. And people know that. I'm not here to preach. You do what you do. Hopefully you do it smart, and hopefully everything's okay, and you don't tap into money you should never tap into or you don't have. But
oh, I had a receiving touchdown, too.
Look at T.
Hoff just told me.
Pound it on. Hoff. Nice. Two touchdowns.
Hoff. Nice.
A little daily fantasy win for somebody as well. But I think that, you know, guys like you, anybody who played in the NFL, you don't realize that there are people on the other end that have inordinate, I'm not saying 1,500, you know, life, it could be life-changing,
yeah,
but inordinate amounts of money that can ruin lives. And you guys are just playing, it's your job, but you're not thinking about the residue of the poor dude who's holed up in his mom's basement or his you know, studio apartment. And he just lost a bet that breaks him for a month.
That's a good point.
It's miserable.
You can kind of find these things through True Media. I'm going to try to find the game, see if I can find a play.
There you go. 877. So you're saying you want to go look at yourself is what you're telling us.
Sometimes I do.
I got you. 877-337-6666. Long Island Kyle. Talk a little Saquon on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good, man. What's happening?
Good, good. So, Tiki, I know you were able to stay on the field a decent amount when you were in the NFL.
Not early, though. Not early.
Yeah.
I struggled early.
I know. A little bit like Saquon. I just was wondering if you think he can come back and be the player he once was. I know it was an ACL injury, but
yeah,
with everything going on, a lot of people are coming back pretty strong from it.
Yeah, look, the ACL used to be something that was a career killer, especially for a running back, but those days are long gone because the surgery it happens so much quicker. You're rehabbing quicker and you come back stronger than ever. And in fact, you're actually stronger than you were. Can he become the same player? Yeah, he can. They need to get the line right, and Saquon's mentality needs to change just a little bit. Because he's such an explosive player. Like, he's got calves for days and quads for hours, even probably the other way around. But still,
those quads are ridiculous.
But his calves are huge, too. So, yeah. You know what I mean? So, but as you get older, it just gets harder to be shifty. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I mean, Barry Sanders was the only one that could do it his entire career. You slow down a step. The guys are, you know, they're keyed in on you, and they tag you when you try to be shifty. And so it's learning how to take on contact, or at least minimize contact and run through it. And I think if he can learn that, then the sky's the limit for Saquon. And you know, the challenge for him with the Giants is his fifth year option is going to come up here in a second, and they got to make a decision. And if you don't fifth year option a guy, the likelihood of you signing the free agent contract just for running backs is tiny. And so
you mean with that team that decides not to offer you the fifth year.
Gotcha. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So if you don't sign that fifth year option,
you're gone.
you're almost gone. And even sometimes if you do sign that fifth-year option, you're gone. So you got to either get the long-term deal, like after your third season, or, you know, you be balling and they have to franchise tag you. So it just becomes a challenge how you contract Saquon right now, I think, with all the things that have been going on around him. And that's one of the things we mentioned earlier, BT. That's one of the – we didn't learn where we are with Saquon with the New York Giants. He had one 100-yard game this past season.
I know.
And, you know, it's not all his fault. I'm clearly not blaming him. But he had a 100-yard game for a guy who was Rookie of the Year 3 years ago.
I think, what do you have, 90 catches his first year?
Yeah.
Didn't he have a ton of catches? 90, dude, 91 catches, something like that?
He was everything.
He was
how he was used like Beckham. Was amazing.
The Giants lead the league in guys coming into the league and being these transcendent, like, all-time producers immediately.
Yeah.
And then they kind of lose their way. And hopefully Barkley's got a different fate in this town than OBJ does. But that's why it was imperative. And not to pile on Gettleman, it is what it is. But that's why he had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had everybody in the building that had any emotional connection to the drafting of Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones cannot be even remotely connected to the decisions that will now shape the next half a decade for this team. That's why Joe Shane's here. And that's why hopefully better things will happen. Let's get Wilson, who is in Roxbury, New Jersey, and Wilson's on the fan. Wilson, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're good, man. What's happening?
Hey, let me ask something. What are the Giants doing? Listen, we just got rid of a bum that is going to go down as probably one of the worst hires in NFL history. I mean, this guy makes Richie Cote look like Bill Parcells, okay? He conned John Mara for $25 million, and he's going to stay on his couch 3 more years, making $5 million just laughing, which is almost criminal, right? But listen, and now they want to go back and kind of like on the same mold, you know, like a tough guy. Oh, Bill Belichick. I wouldn't want Brian Flores if he came here for free.
Why? Why do you? Why? I mean, why?
What are we doing?
Why don't you like Flores?
Who do you like?
I know, right?
Okay, listen. Let me tell you something. Giants fans don't want Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick tree. We don't want none of that, man. No, forget it. Just anybody else is because it's not going to work, man. Because
all right, Wilson.
He got
hey,
fired
Will.
For a reason.
Will Wilson, do me a favor.
What?
Just breathe for a sec.
You're fired up, man.
It's all good. I get it. I get it. Breathe for a sec. Breathe. Count to three. Count to three. Go.
One, mm-hmm. dos, tres.
Okay, gotcha. Now, okay. Who would you like
Gracias.
To coach the Giants?
All kidding aside, listen, I know Brian Daboll. It's to me personally, all kidding aside, listen, I will want a guy that's been there, a coach with some teeth. You know what? I will like Quinn. That because he's been to a Super Bowl. He's been in that. He's been a coach. He, you know, it's not. It's, no, we missed on three. What is it? Coordinators as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
To me personally,
you want some experience?
Yes.
Okay.
But listen, if Brian Daboll, not if, you know, if for what you hear, he's a great guy, really, really good, you know, offensive mind, I wouldn't mind. But definitely not Flores.
And by the way, Wilson, and here's the deal, and everybody knows this, but it needs to be asserted once again. No matter who the Giants bring in, if they don't draft better players, it will not matter.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just a fact.
That's what it comes down to.
It's not going
to
matter.
They got to have some depth, and no matter who they hire, they also need to think about the staff. That's the thing I always say.
Yeah.
It matter, even if it is Brian Daboll, you got to think about the staff.
By the way, you know, it seems like for now, Tua won the little power struggle down there in Miami. How about this blistering quote from a teammate?
About Tua.
About Tua.
Yeah.
This is from an unnamed prominent member of Miami's defense, according to the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, he can't make every throw. That's nothing. He's only going to take us so far. I'm wasting my career here.
Wow.
If that's what we're doing.
Wow.
Quote.
Wow.
Oh, boy. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the fan up until 2, and then it's Carton and Roberts.
Anytime BT gives a Commodore reference, I will bring it up for those who don't know, haven't listened to us nationally. My mother's maiden name is Brickhouse.
She's the
Brick House. And it was all sisters. It was all girls.
I like that music back in the day.
Great, great.
You know, that's 70s stuff. Yep. And 70s was a good generation of music.
It was slash-ish disco,
yeah.
But it was cool. I can still listen to it.
That stuff is phenomenal. Now, some of it, like, you know, some of it jumped off the ledge where it was just horrendous. But some of the 70s, a lot of the 70s music, and not to mention all the rock, well, it doesn't even matter. Who cares? I'm going to start getting into this and turn off half the demo. Who cares? 877-337-6666. How about Fred is it? Oh, Freddy. FedEx Freddy in Utah.
What's
Fred,
up, brother? What's How you up, doing, buddy? Man?
Hey, fellas, this is a national radio program, so don't say the F word. It's UPS, brother.
Oh, I said FedEx. That's right. UPS, Freddy. My bad.
Don't say the F word.
I hear you. I hear you. It's been a while. I'm sorry
it's
about
been a
that,
while.
Frederick.
Fellas, I love you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
DT, last week, what? I wanted to talk to Giants, but I had to go back to last week and you talk about the book. I'm going to buy that book for my son because it got some crazy stories in it. I've seen, you know, a few clips and heard a few interviews from Chris Herring. So
it's called Blood in the Garden by Chris Herring about the 90s Knicks. And, you know, being a consumer of that as I am, you too, I thought I knew all these stories. I mean, it's fresh content. It's a great read.
Fred used to call us on a national show. He's all the way out in Utah, so he's followed us. We appreciate you, Fred.
Of course, brother. Hey, I'm from Brooklyn, so BT. I grew up in the same projects, Fort Greene projects, as Bernard King. So I watched him grow up as a kid. I watched him. So when y'all talk about him and Pat together, he was my favorite player until Pat came along. So I love Bernard King, and Todd Gibson also is from Fort Greene projects, and he does like a tournament in the summertime for the kids.
I know
he
does.
Spends a lot of time in Fort Greene also, and that book is right in our wheelhouse. That's right when, you know, they were on the edge of doing, you know, great things. And I wanted to ask you, BT, there was a story in there about Pat Riley and Rolando Blackman getting into it, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't put him in when Starks was going 1-for-17. And every time somebody tells me Pat Riley's a great coach, which I think he is, but the stuff like that where his personal stuff makes me always question how great he could have been, because I think we could have won because Rolando Blackman was a Rockets killer.
Well,
and he wouldn't put him in the game.
Yeah, he was a Rockets killer 8 years before when he was young and healthy before he had a bad back.
And you got to think that back in that era was just emotion. It wasn't analytics.
No.
You know, like analytics.
That Riley actually used analytics, and they talked about that in the book. But
he started, it was the very beginning of it. But think about those times, Fred. Like, it was so emotion. It was so emotion-driven. Everything in sport was emotion-driven.
Right. And Pat Riley was an emotional coach. And Rolando Blackman was older, but he, you know, you don't lose your shot. He still could have hit one or two shots for that whole game. We were only down, like, 6 to 7 points. But we were cursed anyway because that was the finals where O.J., interrupted our game.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I was actually up in college. Thank you for the call there.
Appreciate
Fred. Stay safe out there in Utah. I was taking a summer course up in college, and I'm watching that game, and I mean, all of a sudden the white van. This is what we're doing here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm finally on the stage and we're doing this. You know, the thing about Rolando Blackman with Riley, and really more specifically John Starks. Yeah, I mean, we can relitigate this now and get into it and say, well, you should have done this and done that. All right, fair enough. Just like, you know, Don Nelson has had his thoughts about running the offense through Mason, which, by the way, was probably a smart move, even though Patrick Ewing didn't want to do that, which is why Nelson was whacked fast. There's all miscalculations, or there's a lot of miscalculations by a lot of managers and coaches in this town. But the thing that I can't really criticize Riley on, I think one of his greatest strengths was knowing who really wanted to compete and who didn't.
Because
that's how he got to where he was.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Blackman was afraid of that stage. He's a Brooklyn kid, too. I'm definitely not implying that, Rolando Blackman. But John Starks was the heart of that team. Riley knew it, and he rode with his guy. And I can't take issue with that.
No, you're right. And it feels like, you know, bring it current. Who is that for the Knicks right now? I mean, last year it felt like it was Julius Randle. Not anymore.
Let me ask it a better way. How many of these Knicks, forget about talent because it's a different game.
Well, I mean, Starks wasn't about talent.
No, I know. I wasn't going there. So I've just tried. Of the current Knicks, how many would fit in from a personality or from a toughness point of view with those Knicks teams? I know it's a vastly different league, so it's almost an unfair question.
Yeah.
Not many.
I
think Barrett would find a role as a bench guy, maybe even a starter because we needed some more offense.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think somebody like Mitchell Robinson could have been a candy type.
Do you think that potential is in Julius Randle?
No, Julius Randle, to be
that, like a dog.
Julius Randle, you know what I mean? No, he already showed us who he is. He completely imploded on the playoff stage.
Yeah,
and then he was completely rubbed off by the criticisms this season.
But you bring that up, and I think of it probably different than you are asking.
Okay.
So if Julius Randle is surrounded by, I don't know, a bunch of badasses,
mm-hmm.
does that become him? You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. I'm not saying he's tough, but I mean,
because I think he is tough.
Mentally, he's proven that he's not very mentally tough.
Yeah, but I think he is tough.
He's going to the tank, but with the criticism.
He is tough. So he is surrounded by the right team. It's almost like we talk about the poor construction of the Knicks. It's almost not talking enough about the fact that these guys don't fit right well together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, the personality seems so disparate. I mean, RJ Barrett's a soft-spoken, you know, really humble type kid.
He's a throwback pro.
Yeah.
Self-motivated.
He is.
Tough, but then you have work ethic.
Then you have Julius Randle, who's, I don't know, he's enigmatic and just
a little bit. He is a little enigmatic.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes he's really on, other times he's not engaged, and it just feels like the personalities don't fit.
I feel like it's almost taken, and this is gonna sound, I don't think most people will agree with this, but Randle, there's a little teeny tiny piece, different positions, different era.
Yeah.
Little tiny piece of Randle that's morphed into, to me, like a little, he's gone into a little bit of the Marbury zone. Not all the way into the Marbury zone.
Interesting.
Because the Marbury zone, at its worst, was an odd place to be.
Look, I don't know this question.
Despite him being a sick player when he was young.
The Garden doesn't really release guys for interviews and the conversations to get to know them and things of that nature. But I wonder if this team hangs out. They chill. They mess with each other. You know
what
I mean?
That's a good question, Teague. I don't know. I know that, you know, those 90s, I know Pat would go with Herb Williams, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure Oak. I know Ewing didn't really hang with that crew. I think it was more like Oak and Mace and Starks, I think. Although Starks and Pat were tight. I don't know. It's a strange group. It really is. It's an ill-fitting, odd-fitting team that's going nowhere at the risk of sounding redundant. I mean, I'm tired of saying it. I'd love to be proven wrong. But how do you watch the Knicks every night and say, oh, that guy on the Fan is wrong? He's wildly erroneous with his claims. They have no point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you got to get a good shot and a clean set, it's hurried, it's fragmented, it's rushed, it's sloppy, it's disconnected, it's disjointed. And we know what's wrong with this team. Hey, one practice session, one film session fixes it? No,
yeah, but
they're flawed.
But we're talking about the on-court product that we're seeing in real time. I'm talking about the core, like the personality of the team.
Now, there is no core because it's going to be broken up in a year because Taj Gibson will be gone. If he wanted to take on the Herb Williams role and play forever, I'd be cool with that. But you're going to see a lot of these guys who are getting minutes. They're going to be gone. I think this summer is going to be complete. We're all hoping for the trade deadline. I think that's a little ambitious.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But
there's not an ideal move that makes sense from every corner.
Not that we know of. Maybe something pops up, but I think the wrecking ball hits this team this summer. And it has to. 877-337-6666. Interesting tweet, which I'll read coming up next. John Heyman on baseball. Is it a positive or is it a negative? I've got some numbers for you. We'll hit you with that coming up next right here on The Fan. That it's Cartner Roberts coming up at 2. All right, Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. Cartner Roberts coming up at 2 here. Time for the Daily Pick brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. And by Wind Creek Bethlehem, it's go time. And since my partners fed you a couple of mush jobs in a row here.
I put myself on the shelf.
Yeah, well, I was going to put you there anyway. We you know, when I'm hot, I'll roll. When you're hot, you'll roll. And I stepped aside because you were hot. I mean, you were giving money lines on soccer games to tie. I'm like, geez, this kid. Jerry Gerard Yorns. Jerry, sorry. I'll give you a little something. Hopefully a winner. I'm going to give you the Sixers. That's a healthy number. You're laying 11 points at home against New Orleans. But, you know, the Pelicans are on the second of a back-to-back, all right? And Ingram, Graham, Bosculunas, and Josh Hart, and obviously Zion, are either rested or banged up. So I would think that Philly would roll, put a few bucks on them, and hopefully they treat you right. All right, 45 minutes past 1. Let's get back to the phones, Teak, see what people are thinking. Let's get Mark at Oceanside. Mark is on the Fan. Mark, what's up, buddy?
I haven't called your show before, but it's actually a terrific show.
Appreciate you, Mark. Thank you, man.
But you said something yesterday, Mr. Tierney, that I have to disagree with. You were too optimistic about the Jets. And I'm going to talk about bringing Zach Wilson to go up against Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
Herbert.
Herbert. That's like bringing a water gun to a machine gun fight. I mean, you got to be kidding me. The guy can't even barely complete a screen pass. I mean, the Jets, until they find the right GM who can bring in the right combination players and a franchise quarterback, they're going very nowhere very fast.
Let me ask you, Mark, did you think, I know he was a little bit banged up, but did you like what you saw from Michael Carter last year, running back? Did you like that?
I really did.
Okay, hold on.
Wait. Huh? I think he's a really good serviceable back.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the kind of guy, I don't think, who can carry 20 times a game for 16 games.
Well, there's very few guys that do that anyway. It's a different NFL.
He's a really nice player.
He's good. Did you like Elijah Moore when he was healthy? You like him?
Did you like Mekhi Becton? Did you like Denzel Mims? Did you like, the guy, Ashton Davis?
He stinks. Yeah. I'll tell you, I like Vera Tucker.
I like Vera Tucker. I think Wilson. But that's the key pick of all of these. The key pick is everything revolves around Wilson.
So you don't like the quarterback. Okay.
And I think when he maxes out, he'll be in the range, the mid-range, like the 15th best quarterback.
You think he'll be better than Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think he'll be along that line.
I think he's more talented.
Yeah.
I think he's more naturally gifted, Mark. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair because we just don't know yet, but I think he'll be better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm just saying the toolbox. Like what I see in the toolbox, he's a little quicker. He's definitely quicker. He's much faster.
I mean,
more arm slots, better arm, a little more zip. Now, Jimmy's bigger, and Zach's a little thin. He's got to put some weight on.
He's actually not.
Well, you know, you said this because you did the Jet Panther game. You stood next to him.
He just I said this when I met him.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you have the wrong number because it makes you look little. Like his number makes him look.
You got to go double digits.
Yeah, he's got to like expand his jersey a little bit so it fills it out a bit because he's bigger than you think.
And his legs look thin.
Yeah, maybe they are. I mean, I wasn't checking them out,
sure.
So I don't know. No, he didn't have on skinny jeans. Michael Fuller did though.
No, he didn't.
Skinny jeans. He looked like a college student when he came in. But he was
awesome. Listen, enough people say that I wear the ridiculous hat. In the studio.
Yeah,
I don't really care what anybody wears.
Yeah, I think he gets. I think he's bigger than he actually.
What
gets
do you?
Credit for.
No, I got you. Mahomes just is thick.
Yeah.
He's thick. What do you think, Josh Allen, thick? How many pounds do you think Zach Wilson could put on over the next 2 years without sacrificing mobility?
I mean, he's already 215.
Can he get up to 230?
Yeah, he could. He's 6'3".
He's 6'3".
But I think 230 would be too heavy.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, like 220, 222 sounds about right.
Okay.
But he's there, really. So he seems like he's skinny, but he's not.
All right. Let's get Jimmy in Stony Point. Jimmy's on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. Jim.
What's up, Tiki? What's up, Brandon?
What's up, dude? How you doing, man? Appreciate you, Jimmy.
I just wanted to touch on the Knicks. So I was just doing some, looking up some stats on the Knicks. The one that amazes me the most is R.J. Barrett. He has 59 games in his career where he scored 20-plus points, and the Knicks are 36 and 23 in those games.
Yep.
I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on that. And I just got to go quick.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
You got it, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Hit and run, Jimmy.
All right,
it's all good.
Don't mind those.
Show's almost over.
Don't mind
those. Hit and runs.
Look, so much of this, it's easy to simplify and put it on R.J. Barrett and say, when he does this, then they win. When he does this, they don't. I think, one, he's just now, at least probably about a month and a half ago, starting to realize that he can be a dominant player when he wants to. Like, he can physically out-muscle some of these players. And at the end of the day, he's still very, very young. And so we're still waiting for him to grow and become mature and recognize the right play and when to make those plays. And so it's hard to look at his stats and the win-losses based on how he scores and make a determination on it. I'll go back to what we were talking about a segment ago, BT. This team just feels like the personalities aren't meshed well. And so it feels like they're figuring it out in real time, which is, it's hard to win that way. And so, it could be on him, scoring, and that's why they win. Or it could just be the circumstances of who they were playing. I'd have to go back and dig into that to really make a comment on it.
Yeah, I would say, just on a cursory level, just looking at the personnel and trying to pull something out of that stat. I mean, they are this year much more deficient three-point shooting team than a year ago.
Yep.
And usually when Barrett has big games, he knocks down a couple of the triples. And when the Knicks get, like pretty much every team in the NBA, good outside shooting, because they have guys that can then get some lob dunks. Obviously, you have to rotate. You have to react to guys shooting the three. Mitchell Robinson, alley-oops, guys inside, a little more room for Randall, blah, blah, blah. I would think that it's derived from that. I mean, that's what I would guess,
The one thing that R.J. Barrett has to get better at is making free throws. His 67%, 68% on the season right now.
Yeah.
And he was 50% last night. Five
and look at
10.
His first year, too. 61%.
I agree. So, he might turn into a pretty decent three-point shooter. He might be a decent scorer off the dribble, off sets, screens and things of that nature. He, all those things. But when it comes down to it, in order to be an elite player in the NBA, you got to make the freebies. And it didn't matter last night because it came down to a lack of execution with a one-point deficit with 15 seconds to go last night.
Mm-hmm.
But if he makes three more free throws as opposed to missing five, he misses two. So he's 80% as opposed to 50%. It's a different game for them. You know what I mean? So,
for sure.
Like, that's the little thing that I look at most with R.J. Barrett. All the other things I feel like he's growing into and learning and becoming better at, you got to be a better free throw shooter if you want to be elite in this league.
I also think that there's, a reason for his I think he's got to also be more effective just shooting the ball overall. I mean, he's not incredibly efficient. His first year is 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, this is overall, 44%. And this year, he's back down to 41%. You round it up, it's 42%. That's terrible for a guard. That's terrible.
Yeah.
And I think part of the problem is that, as I've said a few times on the show, he's not an elite athlete. So when he's not dropping down threes, he's not bursting and blowing by guys and getting easy finishes because he doesn't get separation. Sure, that's a problem.
He did have a reverse layup last night. That just made it
I'm not saying he's incapable, but night to night, the numbers are what they are. And his athleticism is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Teak, we all really like Barrett because he seems to be locked in, diligent pro, a little bit of an old schooler. He competes hard. He seems very coachable. He wants to work on deficiencies. We are all trying to lift him up and rooting for him. But I am not getting on WFAN and saying that I see a 5 or 6-time All-Star. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I hope I'm wrong. So, Hoff, what did you see with Rappaport? What did he just tweet?
He just tweeted, sources, Sean Payton has informed the Saints that he's stepping away.
He's out. I'm out.
Stepping away from football stepping away from the Saints? Stepping away to step back with Dallas?
Just stepping away right now.
Okay. Mm. Not a surprise. We obviously thought that was the case when he didn't return texts.
That's kind of a big deal.
I mean, would you want to coach Taysom Hill as your quarterback?
Just saying.
Probably run away.
Now there's another opening in the NFL for head coach. I mean, you don't think of it that way because of Sean Payton, but still, because nobody expected him to leave.
That's true. Don't you think it's so late in the game? Well, no, it's really not, actually.
It's not.
As I say, they elevate, but have they even conducted an interview? The answer is no, so it's late in the game for them.
They probably haven't even thought about it.
I'll tell you what, I'd call Flores. I'd be like, I'll give you everything. Honestly, bring some order in here.
Yeah.
You go from offense to defense. You go from...
Defensively, they've been pretty good the last couple of years.
That's been their strength, actually.
Yeah, you're right.
But I mean, from Payton offensive to Flores defense.
I see what you're talking about. Offensive focus to a defensive focus.
I mean, if Flores cannot be left without a seat, now, you want to tell me Bieniemy doesn't get a job? I'd like to see him get a chance, but I understand why he's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he will.
Yeah, the hot candidate for so many years, eventually you become the non-hot candidate.
Yeah, Flores has to be coaching a team next year.
Yeah.
He has to be.
I would think so. Maybe the Giants, but there are options out there.
There are. Tomorrow, Joe Shane will speak. What is that, Dove, 11:45-ish? We'll carry it live here on The Fan, and then we will chat with Joe. On The Fan, on Tiki and Tierney. We'll have him probably tomorrow or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been told. And looking forward to it.
Yeah, and he's down the line a little bit with his coaching search. We know they've talked to Flores and Leslie Frazier, who I don't think is really a top candidate. And obviously Daboll's had his second interview. But that's what I'm looking to hear from most from him. Obviously, there's plenty of things he can talk about that have been wrong with the Giants and what he's going to do going forward as a general manager and a processor of talent. But who the head coach is going to be is really the most interesting thing that we're going to find out tomorrow. Or at least the direction that he's thinking about for a head coach.
And we'll be hitting refresh a lot on Twitter. Hoff, hopefully we get some good tweets on this baseball stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
That was encouraging. Read the Heyman tweet once more. Do you have it? I actually just ripped it up and threw it out. I don't know why I ripped it up and threw it out, but I did. Do you have it? He put him on the spot. I know,
yeah,
my bad.
It's all good. Basically, John Heyman said that the union offered $775,000 as a minimum salary.
Mm-hmm.
Was it
currently a $550,000, right?
Currently $570,000. The Major League Baseball
went up to $600,000.
Went up to $600,000. Okay. I think they'll settle around
$650,000,
$700,000, something like that.
That seems like they're working toward resolution there.
Yeah.
That's a big sticking point.
You're right.
No question about it. So that'll be good. Hopefully we'll get, we're not going to get resolution on that today, but that is a good direction to see.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn from past mistakes. There's a big piece of the pie. I get it. Everybody wants, to be gluttonous here, but you gotta understand what's at stake. And I'm not really sure where this confidence is derived from, because every time I have a modicum of confidence with baseball, mm-hmm. they let me down. They let us down.
Yep.
But I just can't believe that they're that stupid.
No.
That short-sighted.
They won't.
That greedy.
It's
that
getting
dumb.
Done. It's going to get done.
They're going to get it done. They are. All right. So what do we have? No Knicks tonight, right? Isles are playing. Devils are playing. Rangers are off. Who else is playing tonight?
Nets.
I know Nets. The Nets are playing. The Nets are getting
2.5.
Look at Teague looking for a little action.
At home against the Lakers.
Lay it. LeBron James cannot lose enough for me. Hope he loses every game. Every game, LeBron, lose. He's still wearing skinny jeans.
He's
37 years old.
That's dysfunction at its highest right now.
You know what? And Vogel's going to get fired if this thing doesn't correct itself soon, and it's still not Vogel's fault.
He should want to get fired, to be honest with
you. Should he just resign?
Yeah, just to get out of that nonsense. Palenka's put together a terrible team, thinking Russell Westbrook was going to be a difference maker for them. So if I was Vogel, I got my chip. I'm good,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but if you resign,
fire
you don't,
me.
Well, you leave money on the table.
No, I mean, I'm going to bench Russell Westbrook in the crunch time.
No, I would never play that guy.
Fire me.
Never.
I'm benching him, so fire me. Go ahead.
Guy's been shooting 28% for 5 years. I used to glorify him. All right, Teague. We're just about wrapped up, buddy. Good show. See you tomorrow, kid.
Be good, brother.
Teague. You guys want to hit us up on social media? Twitter, Teague, Tierney, Carton, and Roberts. Evan is in the control room. He's shifting back and forth. Thinking about bright days with DeGrom and Scherzer going back-to-back in Queens against the Braves as they scatter three hits apiece and the Mets win for Uncle Stevie. All right, guys, have a great day. Gardner Roberts, they have you next. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.